And I called my publisher and I asked Reed Tracy, who is the president of Hay House, and Louise Hay, who is Hay House, if they would publish this book. And they said, if you believe in it, we'll publish it. But we'll have to get a ghostwriter and get it written in a way that people will understand it more clearly, which we did. And her story is called Left to Tell. And I've come to know Immaculée. She has traveled with me throughout the country, and she'll be traveling with me for the next couple of years, telling her story to the world. And the reason I tell the story here is because it illustrates something that is so profound. This woman deepened her faith in Source, moved into spirit in a way that I've never seen described before, and was able to create miracles. She was able to go to a place while she was in this bathroom in which she literally joined with God. She was able to have such a deep faith that she did a couple of things that were just astounding. And it isn't so much about her story of survival as it is the power of faith, that she was absolutely able to do what Patanjali spoke about. You have to understand, we're talking about a two-bedroom home that 200 to 300 people with machetes were searching. And she was in a bathroom that was hidden by a valet, a clothes valet in front of it. It was the only home in Rwanda that had a bathroom in it like that. It had been built and no one knew that the bathroom was there. And the pastor who hid them there would give them scraps of food each night. Sometimes they would go days and days without any food whatsoever. They weren't even allowed to flush the toilet unless another in the house was being flushed at the exact same moment. When you get to meet Immaculée, when you get to see her and when you hear her, you'll see someone who has such a profound faith that your mind transcending limitations takes on a whole new meaning. She was able to erect a barrier between these people who were inches away from her. When she finally was released from the bathroom by the French in July, after 91 days, she was still in great, great danger because she had to walk to the camp where they were holding any of the survivors, but they had, some of them had arms cut off and legs cut off and things like this. It was brutal beyond anything I can say to you. We're talking about 1 million people slaughtered in just 90 days. When she got out, she was walking down the road and the Hutus were standing there and several of them surrounded her as she was 40 yards away from getting to the French camp where they would be protected by the soldiers. And they were killing as many Tutsis as they possibly could. She stood there facing down a man, a Hutu, who had killed many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of people himself. You have to remember, she's now 65 pounds. And, you know, just a frail thing with the same clothes that she had had on for the last 91 days. Her body, she said, smelled. Everything was, was as filthy. And she said her bones were sticking out so badly that she couldn't even sit down. Just to sit down would cause pain. The skin would cover the bones just barely with no fat left on her body at all. And something about her faith, and the whole story is her story of faith, that she looked at that man who had a machete ready to do what he had done to hundreds of other people, and he dropped the machete. Your mind transcends limitations. When you get yourself to a place of faith that is so strong, you have a complete knowing that absolutely nothing can interfere with what it is that you are going to manifest for yourself in your life. That's where she went. When she was in this bathroom, she was able to persuade the pastor who hid them in their home to put the valet in front of the bathroom, which he didn't want to do, by just pure will. And she wasn't allowed to speak. No one was allowed to say a word because the pastor's family, all of his family, didn't even know that they were hidden in their own home. His own children didn't know because they would have turned them in because the killers were everywhere looking for Tutsis. Even the children, young children, were participating in this. The reason I tell this story is because it's such a profound story of faith that when you get yourself to this place of being in spirit and you know that you're not alone, you stop seeing yourself as separate any longer. You start knowing that you're not alone. Your mind transcending limitations is a place where you absolutely know you're not alone. You know that you are connected to some kind of a senior partner of some kind. It doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter whether you call it God or soul or spirit or Louise. It makes no difference what you call it. But you have this knowing, and as Immaculee's faith deepened and deepened and deepened and deepened, she got herself to a place where she became one with God. And in her oneness with God, this is what she did, and this is what she claims saved her life. She survived because she was able to be in a conscious state with God in which she was able to forgive these killers while it was taking place. The most poignant part of this entire book is when she goes back after the Holocaust is over and she visits her former mathematics teacher, who was a Hutu, who killed over 400 Tutsis. She knew all of these people. These were all of her friends and neighbors, convinced to become killers like this. And when she went there and the guards brought him out and they were spitting on him and all of that, and she said, no, she said, the only thing I have to offer you is my forgiveness. She said, that's what God told her she had to do. If you are able to send love to these people who have been led so astray from their own God consciousness, if you can send them love, you will survive. She heard those words, and she started doing that. As she saw them, and when she faced the person who was about to raise a machete to her, she sent him love, and he dropped it. This is the power of living in spirit. When you're inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, when you're in spirit, your thoughts break their bonds, your mind transcends all limitations, and you know that you're in harmony with something, a higher part of yourself, that is forgiving, that is kind, that is non-judgmental, even in the face of the most horrendous kinds of activities that you could possibly imagine, to be able to find forgiveness in those moments. This woman has taught me so much about what it means to literally transcend all limitations and to know firsthand the power that faith and a knowing that you are in harmony with, that there's no hatred, that there's no anger, that there's no judgment, even in the face of the most difficult test that it's possible to imagine. Her mother was slaughtered, her father was slaughtered, her two brothers were slaughtered. One had a master's degree, and in the stadium, they took him and they said, we want to see what the brain of a person with a master's degree looks like. And they hacked him to death while he was alive, took his brain out and showed it to all of the people in the stadium. That was her brother that she was the closest to in her life. It's too horrible to even contemplate. And we go back to Rwanda, we're raising money for the orphans that were there. And this is the most positive and happy and beautiful, loving soul as she tells her story over and over to audiences with me all around the country. I am so inspired just to know someone like that. But what it taught me, more than the horrors of ethnic cleansing, which I already knew about, I've already read everything about the Holocaust that took place in World War II when I was just a little boy, so much of the horrors of the world. What it taught me is that when you really connect to spirit and deepen your communion with God, that you can literally erect barriers and make yourself invisible, exactly what Patanjali was speaking about 2,300 years ago.